How are you?
I'm an emotional wreck.
Why are you an emotional wreck? You got a lot going on, girl. You have a lot happening right now.
I do. And I have some chronic pain stuff. And so a couple of days ago, I had a ketamine infusion. And so it makes me a little bit loopy and it can make me emotional. And I might sound slurry a little bit. And I'm at the drop of a hat. I'll cry at like a kid not being able to make their carbonara on like MasterChef Junior.
Well, congratulations, first of all, about being a grandma. I feel like that's a big deal.
Isn't it? I haven't even met them yet because of that quarantine.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Well, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Is it true you want to be called Lovey? Because I came up with another name for you. Jima. No. Seema. See what I did there? Seema.
Yeah, that's good. I'll take anything. No, the kids still call me Mama. Yeah. But I haven't met the grandchildren yet. And I don't mind whatever they want to call me. They can call me whatever they want.
Right. But as long as they show up.
I was just thinking, I thought it would be funny if I did a Kris Jenner and had them call me Lovey.
Well, I have to say, like, we're close in age, and I feel like you are too young to be grandma, so I get that.
I appreciate you saying that. That's what you get when you're just like a maniac and adopt two teenage boys.
Right, but you did it for all the worst
touching
reasons.
On that, right? Like, let's talk about that. What a wonderful story, right? So how did that come about?
Well, I saw one of my children on a documentary on HBO, and at the time he was 16, and I saw him and just thought, I can't believe that he doesn't have a mummy. And so I asked my people to help me find him, and we did. And by the time we found him, he was 18, and then we met, and I said, do you want me to be your mummy? And he said, yeah. And then he said, could I bring my friend? I don't think he'll make it. He's too pretty and he's so depressed. And I said, okay, like a complete maniac, because I had two bedrooms.
And that's a big heart, Sia. That's incredible.
Quite a leap of faith.
It's both the most insane and rewarding thing I've ever done. If I look back at it now rationally, I think you are a maniac.
Well, yeah,
you met one on a television show. Right. And then you met him for 20 minutes and then you said, do you want to be my son?
Right.
And you said that you would also take a child that you've never met.
I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. But it says something about like the foster system in America. And I could go on about this our entire time and I won't. But I think like what you did is great, because I think that there needs to be more support for the foster whole organization and the way it's run in each state.
Oh, it's so sad and hard and corrupt. I mean, now that I know from them firsthand, it's just sad. It's definitely, well, that's why I'm just lucky. I have the resources that I could help them and, you know, have a roller coaster year. And I was an Al-Anon ninja. And I just, and now they are both doing supremely well. They are like butterflies. And I just can't believe where we are 1 year later. It's been such a journey, but I am so in love with them and I'm so grateful for them and I'm learning so much. I'm like, I think it's awesome that my kids are 19 and that now I have a couple of grandkids.
Are they twins? Because I know there's two. Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, no, they're not. One of them said, the first one said that could he bring his cousin? But I now know that they aren't really cousins. That's just a term that they'll use sometimes for someone that they love or care about in the system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that it was his cousin that I was bringing home to, but they're not blood related. But they were probably trauma bonded in one of the foster homes at one point together.
Well, that's incredible. It really is.
See, you know, together to delve into this project here, it's such a big thing that you're doing here. So let's talk about Together and let's talk about how that idea came about, where you found that inspiration and what it really
the movie, like the movie.
Right. And it's exciting.
This is your direct, you're learning to direct. This is your first big thing. Like what made you want to take a step away from music and go into movies?
Well, I had directed with my friend, Daniel Askill. Chandelier and Big Girls Cry and Elastic Heart and all my videos since Chandelier. Not lyric videos, but the proper official videos I had directed with Daniel Askill. And I started to wonder if I was a director or if I was just a singer with good ideas. And I basically got some reassurance. I had this idea for a movie for so long, 15, maybe 17 years now, could be, I don't even know. But the story just plonked into my head one day. I don't know why. And then I started writing the screenplay maybe 8 years ago. And then it was okay. And then my best friend read it, who is a screenwriter. And he said, if you want, I could help you make this better. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And then I still wasn't sure if I would ever make it because I was scared that people would judge me like an actor trying to make an album, or that it was a vanity project. And I was just frightened that I wouldn't be taken seriously, or that I wasn't a director. I was actually frightened. Maybe I'm not the director. Maybe Daniel Askill is the director and I'm just a singer with good ideas. But finally, Lena Dunham actually, and Dallas Clayton, my co-writer, they were the two people that kind of pumped me up enough and said, you can do this and you can do it alone. And you are a director. And actually Shia LaBeouf as well. He said, you are a director. You can do it.
I mean, those are some big name people. I mean, they don't make movie by numbers, those people, you know, like.
See, to me, I find it so crazy that you would think that you would not be taken seriously as a director, because when I think of you as an artist, I don't pigeonhole you ever into just singing and writing songs. I feel like you're a woman that does a little bit of everything. Like, the artistic directions that you've taken in all your music videos is so different and beautiful. I feel like this is a natural next step for you.
Well, thank you. I hope that everybody feels that way.
I mean, I'm rooting for you, Sia, but I still remember Eddie Murphy and My Girl Wants to Party all the time. So, I mean, I'm rooting for you. I'm excited to see it. But I understand your trepidation. I mean, you know, you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're clearly a very successful singer. And clearly you had some good ideas.
I felt like I had to be exceptional. If I was going to make this movie, it had to be exceptional. So that was the fear, and that was the great risk. And that's why it's taken 4 years. We shot it over 4 years ago. Maddie was 14 when we shot this movie.
Oh, wow. Does Maddie sing? Does Kate Hudson sing? I know it's a musical. I know you wrote 10 songs for this movie.
Yeah. Maddie sings, Kate sings, Leslie Odom Jr. sings. And I sing just at the end. Together. We can make it together. Well, take it.
Look, I don't even know the words to my own songs.
So are you doing scenes in this movie?
I'm firing myself.
Are you also in front of the camera in this movie too? Or is it directing is where you are until you're singing at the end?
A little bit. And it was only because I basically own the movie. There's no studio behind it. I was able to do, I had free reign, but of course I listen when people talk that are smart people. And they said, right, you have to make a cameo. It's going to put bums on seats. And I'm not an idiot. So I did do a small cameo. But then when Rita Wilson came, Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks came to see the screening, and she gave me really amazing feedback. And one of it was, cut most of you out, because it pulled me out of the story. When I saw you, it pulled me out of the story.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay. So I cut most of myself out. I had like maybe 5-6 lines. But now I think I had maybe 12 lines, but now I think I have like 4. You know,
that's so funny. I thought you were going to be like, I was in half the movie. We had to redo everything. You're like, nah, I only had a few lines.
I get it though.
I would never have actually chosen to be in it. It was actually, I had written it and Katy Perry was cast. And then 2 weeks before, or maybe a week before, she said she couldn't do it. So I actually had to jump in and do it. I had never planned to be in it, but my management was obviously very excited when I said, okay, I'll do it. I even sent the script over to Beyonce like 2 days before shooting. And, you know, I was trying to get someone else to play that role. But, you know, it's the universe's will, God's will, whatever, you know. That's how I managed to actually make the film, is I just decided every day to turn my will over to a higher power. And that if anything went wrong, if it, you know, suddenly a location wasn't available and we had to use a different location, that was what was meant to be. That was what was meant. That was going to make the movie better somehow. If, you know, one of my actresses had a stroke, I had to replace her. And you know, okay, fine. Now I have Juliette Lewis in the movie. Wow. Like, that was an accident. She wasn't originally cast. You know, like, she did me a favor. You know, all these little things. And they all, I think, happen. All of it is kismet. And that became the way that I directed. And I just pivoted, constantly pivoting.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the whole experience?
I loved directing. I loved it so much. I loved casting. I loved designing the costumes in the musical world. I just loved it. I loved working with the actors and like using kind of attachment theory to direct, which is, you know, it was so fascinating and helpful in terms of directing. And I think Kate's given the performance of her life, and Leslie too. And Maddie, I mean, is unbelievable. She scored 100% from the Child Mind Institute when we sent the movie to them, to make sure that, you know, it was watched by caregivers and people suffering or flourishing, depending on how you look at it, from autism. And as far as how her representation of a teenager with severe autism, she scored 100% in her representation. And
that's amazing.
I mean, she's Oscar worthy. It's crazy.
It's such an interesting time for film too, Sia. I mean, I'm sure you're seeing what's going on here. So with the lack of premieres, we're seeing a lot of indie films or smaller projects or so forth that are getting, you know, limited distribution, but they're getting a lot of hype now. They're getting a big look because they're owning a certain amount of screens or a certain amount of screenings where movies are showing. So it's a very interesting time right now for film premieres.
So weird. We're basically, apparently, I'll just tell you what my people tell me. I don't even know if I'm supposed to. But basically, we're coming after Tenet. So as soon as Tenet comes out.
Right.
Then we come out.
And these are the only films that are coming right now. So that's really exciting. That's a big deal.
I know. I'm so excited because I realized it. Look, my big dream, of course, like any director, was for it to be shown on the big screen. It is cinematic. It is cinematic, and I shot it cinematically for the big screen. And so when IMAX said we want to show it, I was super hyped because it's the biggest screen of all.
Right. Yeah,
makes my eyes water when I'm in there. I love it. I'm like on a roller coaster, but I can't blink. I love it.
So, you know, it is a dream come true. And fact is I'm in no hurry. We'll put it out when it's safe to put it out.
Right.
But my big dream was for it to come out on the big screen, and I intend for that to happen. So apparently it's Tenet, and then it's music.
That's Do you great. Feel like every song matches the scene? Did you write, you wrote the movie, you had the concept, and then watching it, you were inspired to write some of the other music, or was the music first sometimes? What was that like?
Yeah, so what I did is I made sure, because I'm clever, that I did, that nobody's lip syncing. It's not like a normal musicals. I hate musicals. It's like music videos that take place inside the mind of the teenager who's on the spectrum. So basically they're just really fun, amazing dance music videos. And what I did is, and they're all singing them, Maddie and Kate and Leslie. But what I did in the end is I went, once we finished editing, which I hated, by the way, that was the only part I really hated, was editing.
Right. Give me the baby. I don't want, give me the baby at this point. Right.
Yeah, that's. I think that's why I adopted teenagers. So I went back at the final edit, when we finally done the edit, I went back and I rewrote all the lyrics to support the narrative. So I was able to do that, and that really, according to Tom Hanks, that was very sweet. He said, and he had two screenings. So he said the second time he saw it, I had changed all the lyrics. And the second time he saw it, he said, how come this is the second time I'm seeing it, but it's four times better than it was last time? And I said, I think it might be because I changed the lyrics. And he was like, oh, is that what you did? So I don't know. That's like, yeah. But I've got time. They're telling me time. I've got another interview.
Okay. We got to see it. Thank you so much for taking. We appreciate it. And we wish you the best. I cannot wait to see this movie, music, and your new song together is amazing. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album.
Thank you. I love you guys. Thanks for helping me promote this.
Oh, thank you, Sia. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Bye, sweeties.
Bye.